Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello and welcome to A Pint of Cthulhu. Today we are actually playtesting Honorbound, and we have the two game writers, creators and whatnot with us, as you've probably heard on the interview already. If not, go and listen to that now, because it's very much worth it. We have Jared running the game for us, and Will is also joining us in the actual game as a player, so this is going to be interesting. Take it away, Jared.
I am so excited about this. I've never gotten to run Will through one of these adventures. So if we can stretch his mind a little bit and leave his character bent and broken, that's going to be the goal here. So, yes, thank you for coming in to play some Honorbound. My name is Jared Leopold. I'll be running the game for us. Let's just talk about what we can expect on here. I always like to go through concept, setting, aim and tone before we jump into the adventure. Honorbound is about a band of thrill-seeking heroes with enigmatic backstories who have come together under the covenant of brotherhood. Lots of inspirations drawn from the Three Musketeers, Firefly, and the writings of Charles Dickens, shot into space. I recently just watched the Arcane show on Netflix, which ends up having
Good show.
It was awesome. It ends up having a lot of the same.
Most favorite shows, straight up, is just brilliant.
I can't believe they made a shitty game based after it.
Hey, season 2 out in November,
wasn't
by the way.
Always shitty.
Oh, nice.
It ends up sharing a lot of the same aesthetics I was kind of going for. Your personal narratives end up interweaving with the present sagas, which are ultimately shaped by you guys, the players. The setting is a far future star system populated by dozens, if not hundreds, of alien species, which the players also play. There are no humans for the sake of the session. Historically, the characters are three generations removed from a giant reaction of events. One, the rise and departure of the AI prophets, who took with them technologies they felt sentient beings could not safely monitor, like interstellar travel, AI enslavement, and time crystal technologies. Second thing that happened was the end of the Company Wars, which had imprisoned billions of lives for profit, leading to a utopian confederacy called the Grand Alliance. Areas that did not join the alliance are called the Free City-States. Third thing that happened was the discovery of a pliable and mysterious force dubbed Essence. Those who know how to tap into it are capable of wondrous feats like seeing the future, limited telepathy, and even communing with those left behind by the AI prophets who call themselves the Oracles. With advanced technologies getting destroyed for the most part, the system is now in a new Renaissance age of species-created arts, social norms, and romance. The aim of the session we're going for is that as a group of freelancers, you travel from planet to planet, chasing down contracts that are too dangerous or shady for the regular populace to handle in order to earn refuge from the empty, howling void of space. The aim for you guys, the players, is to not only fulfill the contract, but also to explore your own dramatic personal sagas, add to your species culture, and also to have fun. The tone we're shooting for here is a bright, adventurous, chivalric romance, and heroic with an eye towards redemption arcs. The central theme of working together to overcome insurmountable odds by staying true to the one-for-all feeling. It's very common and even encouraged to delve into your personal strife of your own character, when narratively appropriate, as play will quickly return to more of the swashbuckling. There is no triumph for Athos without the tragedy of Lady Duwynne. Now, you are here's the start of the adventure. This is the contract that you have all agreed to do. You are honor-bound to steal incriminating evidence against Suki Duchesne, local crime boss playing a legitimate businessman in the town of Defiance. You were hired by one Lady Summer, former back-end consultant and accountant at the Heavensent, casino owned by the Duchesne family. She states there is a doctored book locked away in Suki's private office that shows his real business interests. The three-story casino is attached to a hotel and surrounded by acres of cultivated moonbloom orchards. Private launch pad sits on the roof, and there is a luckily, there is a function billed as the red carpet event for the year. It is a duel of wits between champions of two houses that guarantees that casino security will be stretched thin. I'm going to pop something up into the chat real quick.
Fellas, we're doing a heist.
That is
a map.
Using the bear, like to me, I stretched my skills to make that map, but it's for you guys to be coming in near that green part that's supposed to be kind of like a driveway. The blue stars are security guards. The brown stars next to them at the front anyway are get hounds, which will get to the description later. Once you get further in there, we'll describe it as we go along. Lady Summer's motives are as open as her dewy violet eyes. She had a torrid affair with the Duchesne house duelist, and Suki had him killed. Lady Summer fled when the news reached her ears, and she now desires revenge. So, let's meet our characters. I'm going to go from left to right, and we are going to, on my screen anyway, and we are going to start with Francis. Francis is playing a Gortu. They have scaled skin ranging from pale pink to fire red and awful mottled together. They're dense and corded with muscles as a result of the lower gravity from their original home world. However, their most notable features are calcified rock-like growths covering or protruding over parts of their bodies. These normally form into shell-like outcroppings over their shoulders, forearms, and skulls, giving them quite intimidating appearances at times, sometimes called Demon Seed. He has a religious background, a rigorous life for those who want to devote their lives in thoughtful contemplation and the study of essence. Several treatises and reviews of historical events litter the path to possible enlightenment and understanding. The ability to sense and manipulate the spark has led to fascinating extraordinary abilities to physically enhance others, see the future, and bend reality. Exploring the cosmos has only brought more questions than answers. And his profession, or their profession, is a seer. The future is not a guessing game. Your second sight allows you to predict the inevitable ebb and flow of the cosmos. Can you tell me what your character looks like, and if you have anything else you want to add to them?
Yes, my name is Francis. I'm a giant rock man. I see into the future. I wear some very nice robes, but I look like a very, very rocky cactus almost, except for very red.
All right, starting with Will, playing Kilix, and also the Molly Roger, you both are now going to bequeath a trinket to his character. This trinket is a one-time expenditure, either as money, or you can burn it as a saga point. Okay? This item has to be easily handheld and easily tradable with other people. So, I need it from both Kellex and Molly Roger. What else does Francis have on his person?
You know, Francis, I think, has a dagger, a very special crystalline dagger, small dagger, that's been fashioned horrifically from the remains of another Iliad.
I think Molly would have given him a coin with a literal bite taken out of it. Like, someone's tested the metal and found it very much wanting. Imprint of little raccoon teeth.
Perfect. I love that for him. Okay, next on my list, I've got the Molly Roger. They are playing a Zooey, which is a fuzzy mix of raccoon, squirrel, and fox-type features, best describe them. Because of their pelts, they're custom to colder climates, easily function in warmer weather as well. They have nimble digits and tails with unique markings to aid in balance. The Zooey's lighter bones are made for climbing and soaring between outcroppings, as some of them are born with memories from wrist to ankle. This particular Zooey went with a military background. But the galaxy is a wildly dangerous place, and sometimes it requires to be tamed. Unthinking alien beasts tunnel through settlements, unmanned drones hunt the skies left over from company wars, and people still require bodyguards. Even the high society requires champions to fight their duels. And the Molly Roger is a swashbuckler. Live by the heart, die by the sword. Your vast network of connections brings you into constant contact with your next job or your next love. Can you tell me what Molly looks like?
So Molly Roger is a squat, brown raccoon-looking creature in a red, fine coat. It's surprisingly immaculate for how scrappy in general she looks. She also has a ponytail braid that is literally like humanish hair on the head, and then the raccoon fur all the way down to the tail also braided, with various feathers and trinkets decorating it.
Perfect.
A magpie of a person.
Love it. Can Francis and Guargo please bequeath two trinkets to Molly?
I will give you a quartz crystal. It is a long and a pointy. You may stick things with it if you wish.
I think Guargo is going to give her a dull dagger. Not a sharp dagger, dull dagger. Because, yeah, I feel that's a fair gift for my character.
A dull dagger for a dull friend.
Dull of wit as well, I see.
Of course.
No, it's a dagger.
They cannot all be as charming as us.
To me, it's a dagger of hope and, well, so it doesn't kill, obviously. The dull daggers don't kill.
Not without a lot of work.
I can probably sharpen that up for you later.
Alright, perfect. Next we have Guargo. Guargo is a Caxian, slender in length in comparison to the most land-dwelling species, covered in blue to yellow tinged scales, suited with an aquatic lifestyle, just at home as on the surface. Guide fins are present on their calves, forearms, and on their upper back and skull sometimes with varying prominence. In keeping with certain codes, the high society has the luxury of waist-long length hair, ranging from silver to gold, while military usually keeps it cropped short. Caxian eyes are often mismatched in swirling metallic colors depending on the amount of oxygen present. This particular Caxian has the underground background. Underground's not really looked down upon in this world because the underground was very needed to be able to overthrow the companies. So learned in the way of society is more than just attending a finishing school for manners. It means learning how society works. A subtle lean of the head can indicate a weak negotiating position. A slip of the tongue can give away security plans. Insult can drive someone off the field of battle. Both high and underground society rely on these skills from a thriving empire, if not solely for survival. And this Caxian is also a troubadour, sharp-tongued and quick on the draw. You instill trust in those that are your allies and fear in those that oppose you. You have a natural ability to understand what drives a person. And what does Guargo look like?
So Guargo is going to be pretty standard sort of Caxian, sort of blue with fins on the back, except he's going to be quite a, not a flashy man. He's sort of wearing sort of dullish clothes, dull clothes, not sort of like a shirt and shorts. And he's wearing just a wrist bracelet Why not?
Perfect. And can I have Molly Roger and Inquisitor McWombo bequeath Guargo an item, a trinket?
I'll let Molly go first.
Another trinket. I think a feather quill from some exotic far-off bird.
Ah.
Lightly stained with soot.
Ah, so something to jot down my ideas for later, I see.
You have ideas?
Many so, my dear. Or my sir. I can't remember your gender.
My dear, my sir.
I think Inquisitor McWombo is going to bequeath upon you a very valuable and precious fungi that is well known to be a very high society gift from where he is from. It is stalk is bright white silvery, and the top of the mushroom moves and shifts like a Rorschach mask.
So, if I cook this with some butter, does it taste like mushroom?
Well, it is a mushroom. It does.
That's the point.
It is yours to do with what you please.
I hear you can get higher for that if you do the right thing.
And then we are on to our second to last character, who is... Let me hop over here. McWombo, who is a centillion. Centillions are sentient bacterial colonies with the remarkable ability to collectively form bodies to interface with the world at a scale the other races can recognize. These same bodies can shapeshift, approximating human forms for encounters with other races, which is often quite friendly as centillions use to put others at ease during their interactions. This particular centillion is from high society, which is very similar to underground, and is an inquisitor. They are hunters of other people to uphold justice. There is no honor among thieves, especially when you're done with them. You are armed with a keen intellect to find the truth and serve justice. What does Inquisitor McWombo look like?
As they are introducing themselves, Inquisitor McWombo gracefully shifts into the form of a particularly attractive... what's it called? Grimbo? Gumbo? What's Francis's species?
Oh, the Gotu.
Sorry, I do apologise. Yes, he gracefully shifts into the form of a particularly attractive Gotu. Features are much more softer and inviting than Francis's. He smiles warmly and introduces himself. Yes, he talks with a similar... similar cadence, but in a different accent than our good Francis.
Try and cap, go on.
Yes, he's...
Go on.
He clearly doesn't know where Francis is actually from.
This is when we find out you can only transport... He can only transform his body, not his voice.
Yes, he can only... Ah. Yeah, that's a good point, Carmen, yeah. But he can only transform his body.
Yeah, and you still look like a centillion, but you can take on the shape of the one. Oh, I love it. Now, as far as the trinkets that you're going to be carrying with you, you are going to be bequeathed from Kilix and Guargo. Now that you know more about McWombo, what is he going to be carrying?
Yes, give me gifts.
Now I forgot who the other person was. I was going to let them go first, and I forgot who it was.
I think that was me. Guargo. Troubadour? Yeah, Guargo. Ooh. Oh, no, this shapeshifter is a funny one. What can I think of here? What can I think? Well, yeah, okay, so...
Oh, go ahead.
Can I give him some, like, candy? Like a bag of, like, jelly beans?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, here you go, my friend. A bag of jelly beans to magic your day. Yes.
All right. And I'm going to bequeath a vial of some type of inky, almost tar-like substance that is currently unidentifiable.
That Yep, I cannot identify it, but I'm happy with it all the same.
It swirls in very nice patterns when you turn it upside down.
Yes, and I do that frequently.
And our final player at the table is Kellix. Kellix is an Iliad, which I put the wrong character description on here. Give me 1 second.
Inquisitor, if I spill you a detail, will you die?
I do not know. I would recommend perhaps not trying.
Try that.
Perhaps a single antibacterial wipe may vanquish you.
Defeated by the cleaning product.
We'll have to be extra cautious of the janitors.
Beware my bleach.
All right, I found it. So, Iliad. The Iliad are, physically, are a striking sight to behold. Tall and slender with elongated limbs and a graceful posture. They exude an otherworldly elegance. Their translucent skin is crystalline and refracts light in mesmerizing patterns, giving the illusion of an ever-shifting spectrum of colors. They lack a discernible facial features beyond a pair of luminous eyes. This particular Iliad is an academic. Education centers are open to any who wish to attend with the backing of a guild. Studies are rigorous, but essential to expanding both young minds and the shared universe. All areas are important to delve in to answer the deeper questions of the cosmos. A discovery in the immigration patterns of alien wildlife may unlock the sequencing code of orbiting meteors. This Iliad chose to become a guardian, where essence is merely an extension of power to be wielded. You shape destiny by steel and honor. And what does Kellix look like?
Kellix, obviously tall and thin, kind of light refractions kind of tend towards different shades of blue more often than other colors. And he's wearing kind of a loose, like, linen suit sort of thing. White, you know, crisp, very much kind of a futuristic scientist sort of almost scrub suit sort of thing.
This suit pleases Inquisitor Wombo, McWombo, and although he keeps the Gorty's form, he does change it so that it has the coat.
And it is also McWombo's turn to be able to bequeath a trinket to Kellix as well as Francis.
Kellix, I have this. It's a short chain of linked metals, each metal a basic element from different planets. Let's say it's about 7 links long.
Are these large enough I can, like, wear it as a necklace?
Yes.
Perfect. I definitely don
maybe not my necklace, maybe a bracelet.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely don that. We'll slide that on my wrist.
And Francis, what are you thinking?
Well, I don't know if I can give you something better than that, my friend, but how about this chain here? Instead of fancy rock, it is made of garlic.
Garlic?
Ah.
Good for cooking.
Keeps the space vampires away, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wizard to McWomble backs up a few steps.
Space vampires.
You're not one of those flesh-eating amoebas, are you? You have to tell us legally.
My friend had one of those. He got it treated.
You can get it treated? Wow. I guess for some people it just sticks.
Inquisitor McWombo is not on any register of flesh-eating amoebas.
Not a register. And I hope not on any of the other registers either.
I love... You can tell the familiarity of your freelance group has been together for a while. The easy back and forth of your bantering as you get ready for the first job. And here is the introduction. And I'm just going to throw you in it. Coterie is making their way amongst the haves and have-nots as holopics flash for the latest gossip. An automated An automated greeting bot checks invitations at the entranceway. Two security guards flanking the 20-foot-tall doors tightly grip the reins of vicious githounds. A cross between a star blinks in a short moose with multicolored irises standing 1.5 meters at the shoulder. Their dark green pelt shimmers with lighter green stripes as a trio of razor-sharp retractable mandibles clack at the air, sensing prey. For Honorbound, we do something called in media res. It's not quite throwing you in the middle of it, but it kickstarts the whole adventure. We are now going to do a vignette, flashback vignettes from each one of you to do something or to get something that you want before you go in. Now, me as the GM, I'm going to give you some options. Let me number these because the number always falls off whenever I do it. Now, these are just suggestions for maybe something that you want to know or have before you go in, because the very next thing we're doing is going into the casino and trying to pull this job. You already know what you have to do, and here you go. There are 7 possible choices that you can do.
Now, right, lads, it's time to rob a bank, they say.
The very first one is the only one I want to talk about, and that's getting an invite to be able to get in. Now, you guys can do that. One of you can choose just to do a scene to get an invite, depending on how you want to do it. Or you can use Lady Summer's connection to get in. So that one can be covered for you if you want. Otherwise, each of you, doesn't matter in what order, just kind of shout out, hey, there's something that I want out of this. Or if you have your own idea, you tell me what you want to do, tell me how you do it, and then you're going to roll. And you can do whatever role you want. So I'd suggest making it probably the best thing you can do. But you don't have to if you want to make it challenging.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I'd like to get an invite. Not using Lady Summer's connection.
Okay. Perfect.
You see, Francis has joined a band. We play rock music. And only rock music. As such, we are playing in the casino.
Wait, you can't make music from rocks. I've tried many times, it just gets a clacking sound. Like...
Your rocks aren't big enough.
Fish. You need a bigger rock.
I've heard that you
can always try your brain.
Can always make an xylophone out of a few pebbles. It's a classic.
That would not cover the genre.
That's
you got a cooking pot. You can make an iron drum. They have, I see. Make one of those.
No,
my brother. He is the one made of the metal. He is into heavy metal.
Like I saw it coming and I couldn't get out of the way.
Have you heard the new album? Lots of folks said they liked it. But to me, it just sounded like Rolling Stones.
Now this toy makes sense. You've got a lot of people going in here. They're going to need axe, right? I am totally fine with this. You're going to need a DC of 6. Okay. Now let's take a look at your character sheet. Let's see what's going to make the most sense.
Charm, maybe.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. With a panache and charm. So then 6 dice.
And keep 6. Keep 3.
Keep 2. All
right. Keep 2.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. 2 6s.
Okay. Do I get to see these? I do. Great. Okay. So, the reason that we do these backstories, one, it's fun to do, right? Just kind of limber up, getting ready for a little bit of improv stuff here. But it also seeds the different meta pools. For example, you roll the 1. So, you get a saga point, an additional one onto your character. You roll 2 6s, I get 2 tension points. Yeah. However, you only needed a 6. Just by rolling what you rolled there, You just keep the two sixes. You got it. So I assume that's just what you want to do, yeah?
Yeah. Just quickly, are you having our voices come through your computer speakers?
I don't know, do I? Are you getting some reverb back?
I don't know. I just don't know if that will come back on your recording or not.
On my side, it won't. No.
Okay.
No.
No, we're all good. Just every now and again, I just thought, he hasn't got earphones on. I wonder if that's going to be an echo issue.
No. Nope. We're going to be totally fine.
Carry on.
Okay. Not a problem. So, perfect. All right, you guys, your cover story, you're a rock band. Boom. And part of that is I assume you all get different accoutrement to make you look like a rock band. Okay? All right. Anyone else of these other things that you can do? You now have an invite to get in. Here's just some suggestions. There is security, so if you want to sneak weapons in there, you got to figure out a way to do it.
I've got an idea on that front, I think.
Okay. Hey, what do you want to do?
Okay, so I think I'm going to be using my mineral-born knowledge of natural minerals here to identify some large rocks, right? Some equipment for the rock band that can be hollowed out in order to sneak weapons in inside them. The problem is they're really pretty large, so we're going to need to hire out some drivers, some pilots maybe from the local stone temple to pull those in.
No, continue. Did you mean to do that? Stone Temple pilots?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was 100% just set up for Stone Temple pilots.
Okay. Yep. Perfect. Okay. So, yes, I love that idea. What kind of skill are we talking about here? How are you going to, you're going to have to hire these people, carve out some stone? What are we doing here?
Yeah, well, I think the delivery stuff, they're not going to be aware of this, right? They're just delivering equipment. So I'm thinking most of this probably has to do with my scientific knowledge of the proper minerals that we could hollow out and not be detectable. So I'm thinking this is probably wit and theory.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine about that. Yeah. So six dice for you as well.
Okay. And if I can figure out how the roller works here. So dice, d6, 6. There we go. So, yeah, if I keep a pair of sixes, I guess.
Perfect. So I get two more tension points.
But, I was going to say, generating lots of stuff here.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into that. But that also means you got two saga points as well.
Yes, indeedy.
Okay, perfect. Weapons inside your instruments. Love it. You're going in as a band. Who else wants to do something?
I think Molly will want to get some information. My first love and only love may be the stars, but I do have a few people around here I feel this is too far. Huh. I could always pay them a visit or two. Now, the high society ladies always love a bit of frill, and they're such gossips.
Absolutely. Yes. What are you trying to find out exactly? And who are you going to talk to?
Any kind of knowledge on the... Any kind of knowledge on the security... not the security, actually. Let's go for Suki. Let's go for knowledge about Suki. Any kind of gossip, high society... hush, tea meetings.
Yep. Perfect. Okay. So you just need to do a panache plus your society. That's your swashbuckler. This is that's your wheelhouse.
Six dice.
Okay.
I'll keep a 6 and a 5 then.
Perfect.
For 11.
You got it. And you speak with a lady, Francesca, who says she has intimate knowledge of good old Suki Duchesne. And what you kind of get out is that he's actually a bit of a gentleman scoundrel. His house was one of the first ones that stood up against the against the company overlords, more or less to say it, three generations ago. And he is like the great-grandson of one of the first outlaws, basically. That's why the town is called Defiance, is based on these guys, actually. Now, Suki hasn't quite gotten the same ruggedness as, say, his forefathers did. But what Suki is good at is gambling and roofing. And very specifically, Lady Francesca goes like, oh, he's never without his own personal get hound. Calls her Snookums or something like that. It is just the most adorable thing. You know, if people were impolite, they might think something weird's going on.
Ain't that this, darling?
Oh, very much so, Molly. All right, who we got left? Gwargo and McWombo.
All right, Inquisitor McWombo might want to find out a little bit more about this head of security at the casino. So do we know what the head of security looks like?
No.
In that case, Inquisitor McWombo is going to go into the casino and shift his form into the form of one of the general security guards of the casino.
Okay.
He's going to spend some time in the security guards' changing rooms, the security guards' little canteen hall, and he's going to chat them up a wee bit. He's going to serve them some drinks. He's going to pat them in the back, tell them they're doing a great job. All the good things a security guard does for each other.
Love this. What I'm going to say, since this is a flashback, maybe like the day before all the hubbub was coming around, you just kind of go in discreetly.
He's spent the last few days undercover as a security guard.
He's been in there for 86 years.
Okay, love it. I love it. Now we're going to do a check to make sure you are in disguise, right? So what do you think is going to be the best thing for you? I'd say panache for sure, representing your charisma.
Wits as well might be a useful one there for actually convincing the guards you are one.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'm into it. How many dice does that give you then?
So panache and what we go for skill here? There's a few good things. I think investigate would probably be the best one to go for. So wit and investigate.
There's a bunch of great ones. Like society will just let you check out everything. Charm just lets you like, hey, I'm just a super charming person. I'd be okay with even taunt, kind of telling people like that it's so people keep away from you.
Society, actually. You know what? We'll go for society. Because that sort of mixes in a bit of wit and panache as well. So go for wit and society.
Okay.
Because this is a high-class guy. He's a high-society guy. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Hanging around casinos and stuff.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah, we're going to see how society it is here in a second. Yep. So, yeah.
So he's going to do his best to pretend he's a working man.
Perfect.
Got 5 dice. Right, so we're looking for 5 dice. It's all just D6, yeah?
Yep.
All right, so we got a couple of fives in there.
Perfect. Yep, and you get one saga point as well. Okay, you are looking around specifically trying to track down who you would talk to and whatnot. The head of security is a gentleman called Mr. Knotts. Mr. Knotts is a massive Eternal. Eternals are kind of like the vegetation type aliens in this, or species in this world. He's almost like two tree trunks smashed together. Corded muscles made of wood with a permanent kind of scowl etched across his face at all times. He is the head of security and also Suki Duchesne's right-hand man. Almost literally on a chain around his neck, he has a, let's call it a silver and platinum type chain. And on the end of it is a withered, you're thinking, hand? Like maybe someone's hand is on a chain around his neck that he keeps underneath his suit that you can just kind of barely see here and there.
All right, now that I've got in about with the guards and we're all friendly and stuff, and I've managed to find out who the head of security is and what he looks like, am I able to do an additional thing in my couple of days beforehand in order to, I don't know, mess with the head of security a little bit?
No.
No. Excellent. Actually, that's fine. Cap, I'm happy with that.
Can I jump in there, actually? Because I'm going to be doing quite a similar move to Cap. Uh-huh. And this head of security, could I potentially... Can I say, for instance, I join Cap there when he's a little espionage of sort of, you know, looking around and stuff like that, and we identified the head of security.
Yeah, I'm feeding Guargo all the info.
Okay.
Yes. Could Guargo maybe go and find this head of security and try to identify his weakness? Because then that'd be quite good for my role.
Okay. Is the troubadour? Sure. Yes. Yeah, you can do that. You get kind of an idea, maybe... Guargo kind of lets you in a side door when it's like, because there's not as much security right now, it's not as tight because it's the day before. And you get a chance to be able to study Mr. Knotts for a little bit. Yeah, if you want to check out his weaknesses, let's go either wits or panache plus empathy.
It's going to be panache because that's 4 empathy. I've got 3 in, so... 7 die, if I got that right. There we go. Got 2 sixes and 2 ones.
Okay, 2 saga points for you, 2 tension points for me. And I believe that's everyone so far. Yeah, what were we going to say?
So I can get... do I get saga points for myself?
Yes. You get 2.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. You study Mr. Knotts for a while. And it is the day before, and I like this. I like the idea of this. So you guys took this contract a week ago, okay? And Lady Summer was like, once you have the information, just do a dead drop somewhere else in town, okay? Now you're honor-bound to fulfill this contract. You kind of follow Mr. Knotts. He goes off to the side at one point in time, and you're looking for any specific weaknesses that he has. A massive creature. Seems to be 100% obedient to Sookie Duchesne. Then you see him meet with someone wearing a hooded cloak. And you're very sure that that's Lady Summer that he's meeting with.
So there's a bit of fraternization with Lady Summer.
Is she just screwing everyone in his employ?
Eyes in.
Because it was the jewels before.
Lady Summer.
She is leaving a sediment everywhere.
Sorry, I'm writing notes. I've literally got my. Wargo is in the corner there with his notepad, writing this down. Hooded Lady Summer, fraternizing with head of security.
You must admit, she has the stones.
We are getting suspicious of a double cross.
I have no idea what you mean.
Or double timing.
Now, for the two of you that have been in the casino, Sookie Duchesne is not one to hang around there, so you didn't get a chance to see him. However, we are now going to... We've done the flashback vignettes. And now, into the present, walking into the front of the room. Hey, can you guys tell me a little bit what your band looks like? Are you, like... What are you wearing exactly? What does a band from the future look like?
I think we should be fully silver from head to toe. Like, you know, body paint.
I think we're all in, like, very ill-fitting, like, black, cheaply printed band t-shirts. You know, that kind of, like, rough, cheap screen printing.
Yeah, with the colours faded.
Why don't we go down the Kiss route?
Full face.
Well, he's already kind of got the
exactly. We just paint to match.
We can't decide, so all three of us choose our own thing, so we all become what we just said. Matt's wearing
how
his
do
whole,
we paint?
I'm trying to say the right names right now, sorry.
Inquisitor Wombo has shifted himself back into a Gortu. He's wearing the cheap black t-shirt, and not knowing what rock music is, he's brought a violin with him.
How exactly are we going to paint your face? You do not exactly have one.
You know what? As you amazing. You manage to walk in, each with your own fairly heavy instruments, with your weapons securely tucked inside, as you enter into the front of the Pino. I will say one last mechanical thing for you, and you will have almost mastered this system. The last thing that you need to know, last two things you need to know, is one, there are five of you in this group. You have one, two, three, four, five unity points. Okay? Any of you, this is a shared pool of unity points. Any of you may spend from it at any point in time. Okay? If you notice to the right of your skills where it says for all, you use that skill. So if you're ever in a GM and you don't have the skill that you need, that you really want, then spend a unity point to use that. And then finally, there is one big skill that all of you have. If at least three of you choose to defeat a conflict working together, you can each spend a unity point and add all of your dice together. Okay? So if you work all together, you can accomplish really big things. But it costs unity points. If you ever get to zero unity points, your fellowship of brotherhood has completely fallen apart. You do not trust each other. You all go your separate ways immediately. This adventure, anyway, or this saga. Deal? Here we go. The double doors open as you are checked in by the automated checker-inner. The double doors open to a lavish entranceway dominated by a help desk manned by a pair of sparklers that are built into the desk itself. To the left is a bar, and there is an entryway to a restaurant to the right. Past the help desk and to the right is the gaming floor, while to the left is entry to the Five Jewel Hotel. There is a giant poster of Suki Duchesne hangs on the back wall, pointing at the crowds with his left hand while his right hand is tucked into his jacket. Finger seems to follow you wherever you go. Before you tell me your actions, how can you tell that you do or do not belong amongst the affluent? This is the richest of the rich in a society that's not supposed to have societal layers. These are the haves. Tell me how you fit in or don't fit in amongst the crowd.
Well, we don't fit in at all. We're there posing as a band. We're just working people coming in for our shift.
I think perhaps how invisible we are as working people to these rich guys. Whereas if a group of rich folks came in, they'd probably turn, talk to them, greet people that they knew. They just act as if we were part of the decor.
As well as part of the furniture.
Just casually walking in, carrying the crates of tools and musical instruments. Just dragging it along the floor. The entire way. Don't mind me, it is just rock music.
I think Molly's got a stool, like, kind of waddling along, carrying, knowing that they won't be tall enough to be seen.
Yes, yeah, so a combination of us ignoring the high-class people and the high-class people ignoring us. Also, McWombo has picked up on like the personal habits of the various guards and staff members, so McWombo will be leading people through and just making sure that who he's likely to get past, who he's likely to have struggle with. So we're able to just get through that way.
Perfect.
I think they're mostly ignoring us, but I think Kellex is trying to draw a little attention, because I don't think he's really part of the band. I think he's working on setting up the merch table, and like he's running the merch table and he's like setting it up right in front of that banner of Suki, like trying to get everyone's attention, and you know, everybody's trying to ignore the merch table because they don't want to feel bad like not supporting the band.
Oh yeah, no one's even going to try. They're going to actively give you a 5-foot space, you know, to get around you.
Yeah.
Hey, where would you like to go?
I was going to say, first off, Kelix, I told you not to put on too many rhinestones onto the t-shirts. You'll scare away the posh people.
But you told. But I told you the rhinestones make it. It's the glitter, my man. It's the glitter. And I'm just gonna get one of the costumes and gonna shake it in front of it, like the glitter, the glitter.
A cheap rhinestone start coming
off. I was not
off
speaking to your Guago. I was speaking to Calyx.
Ah, Francis being Francis.
I think Calyx said something,
you know what?
But I saw his mouth move but didn't hear it.
You know what? I saw a help desk. Oh, should I go and ask them? Can I go to
yeah,
the
dude,
help
if you're
desk?
Trying to talk, hang on. Your mic's not on.
I think you're muted.
No, I shouldn't be.
No, not you.
I really was. I muted myself when I took a drink, so you guys didn't hear that.
You looked really enthusiastic, though.
I did try to say I'm a very soft-spoken academic, so very soft-spoken.
You still put on too many rhinestones.
But the band, we're Rock Lobster, and the claws, they really got a pop on the shirt. So they needed
see,
the rhinestones.
You see, this man gets it. It's a pop. See, Francis, it's 2-1.
Several of the affluent are trying to walk around you. A couple of you have kind of backed up behind them. As the guard that's kind of by the bar door kind of moves forward, is like, come on, move along. Tells you folks to get going. Borgo, you recognize that. That's, we'll call him Vane.
Vane?
Yep. Neither a bad person or Vane? A good person, just someone who's just trying to clock in and get out of there.
Ah, just a run-of-the-mill workers. Ah. So we could... Okay, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna leave him be, just let him do his thing. I don't see any reason to interact with him. Help desk. No. I mean, we're a band, we just got there. We should be talking to management about our stage and our performance, so I'm gonna go to the help desk.
Okay. Yeah, you usually stroll up to the help desk. Behind there, there's two automatons attached onto the desk. Remember, all AI is completely stripped of this system. So it just greets you very neutrally, like, greetings, guest.
Ah, another robot. Such is my life. Yes, I have a event organized. We are a band. We should be under the performance list.
Oh, let me check.
Press 1 if you are an entertainer.
Right.
Press 2 if you are.
Damn it. Zero. I want to talk to someone. Zero. Zero.
Inquisitor McWomble strolls up and slams a newly formed lobster claw onto the desk and says, "We are Rock Lobster."
Say Rock Lobster.
I see. You might be comfortable in the lounge. And it points towards through the main gambling hall to the back to the lounge.
Not really interested in where we'd be comfortable, I do apologize. I'm asking you where you want us to set up our band.
Yeah, I think, is the stage around the lounge? Should we just set up and play?
Oh, entertainment should go to the lounge.
This conversation is starting to pebble out.
That's a hero of puns, mate. Right, let's head over to the lounge. Or at least we can drop our stuff up there.
I have a list of puns I will get through.
Right, you turn towards the gaming room. Enter. The ceiling vaults away to the full three stories, revealing crushed purple velvet curtains, gold chandeliers, and thick patterned carpet. It's not enough to damp the cacophony of sound. Bells ring, dealers' mark sets, and duelists clash. Gaming floor is divided into three areas. Games of pure chance via the Videodrome, popular card games against sentient opponents, and dueling games in a cordoned-off area. A broad-shouldered Eternal stands in the center of the cast with his arms folded over a necklace, looks like a withered hand, intently listening to an earpiece. All of you know from your earlier scouting that is Mr. Knotts. Crossing the threshold into this room gives off the sound like static television, or gives off the sound of like television static. But there is a large Buddha-esque centillion who's meditating on a large see-through platform hovering 5 meters into the air. Every once in a while, it motions for a being to be removed from the floor. 2 sharply dressed security guards detach from their posts and escort the offender into the back room. Can each of you tell me what kind of spectacle do you see, or tell me how your character is handling getting the inhibited status? So all of you can add inhibited to your character, which gives you a -2 dice to mysticism checks while you're in this room.
That -2 to mysticism. Mm-hmm.
Now, with fear, Francis, you immediately know that this inhibitor feeling is coming from the large centillion, possibly one of the most powerful, they call them regulators, that you've ever encountered. And they usually have a low level of telepathy too, so you need to be on your guard when you're in this room.
I think Molly immediately staggers like someone who has never had sea legs in their life stepping onto a boat, as any sense for the supernatural and as their own willpower suddenly drops. Is this awkward squat raccoon staggering?
Anyone else?
I feel like Inquisitor Wumbo might be able to mitigate the effect that the centillion is having. The effect that it uses in order to point out the offenders, being that he's from the same species.
Sure. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So something like maybe using like either like generating some sort of subtle misinformation within the bacterium, or maybe like overloading the senses of the other centillion.
Sure.
So he's seen too many people judgment, or rather than accurately judging the people.
Let's go for, because I love this idea. You're really thinking outside of the box here. Let's go for, I like it being a wits check, but you're actively trying to send misinformation, right? Through.
Yeah, let's go for a misinformation campaign. I like that one.
I think that's a really good idea. I would wits plus I would either go composure because it's trying to resist the intimidation or those attacks from that.
Maybe taunt.
Trying to be intimidating or besmirching someone's honor.
Taunt doesn't work, yeah.
I can't see that one.
Yeah, composure is probably the best one to go for. So wit and composure.
Okay. So then what we're going to do, we're going to do our first oppose check. You are the attacker, so you roll your dice first. So you get 4 dice plus for your attribute for wits plus 0. You get a saga point. So
could I potentially help with that, though? Is there a way of helping that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can give him a +3 total by doing an aid action of some sort. What were you thinking?
I think this is like a very, very much a stealth action. It's something we're doing while going through. So, in order to mitigate its power of judgment, so it's something that we want to do without causing any sort of attention towards us. Like, this is all in the mind.
I think a bit of prescience
for Wumble.
Yeah, if I give you a bit of prescience, maybe I could just nudge you in the right direction, as it were.
I'm going to throw this out here, and I don't know if you want to do it so early. Would you like to do an all-for-one check? It'll cost, if 3 of you are working together, with the goal of trying to stay off... That dude's name is Fortunato, by the way. To try and stay off Fortunato's radar. If you tell me, if 3 of you get together, or if all of you get together, well, that would spend all of your unity points would be at 0, so that'd be bad. So,
Well, how was that roll before we go any further? We got the 4d6, I got a 2, 3, 3, and a 1. What does that mean?
Okay, if we stick with that, okay, normally I wouldn't show this, right? But because we're doing this for fun, I'm going to show you then what I would roll. Since it's an opposed roll, I finally get to roll dice. Okay, let's go to the advanced roller.
So I'm guessing because those are low numbers, that's a bad roll?
Yes, that is. Because you'd automatically keep 2, right? Which puts you at a 6. If you want to spend more saga points to keep more dice, you can, but you're not going to bump it up by a whole bunch. So you'd keep those two dice to get you 6. With the aid action from Francis, that would get you all the way up to 9. Okay. So we're pretending that's what we did. Now, opposed roll. Because of you're the attacker, you have to choose what you keep first. Now, I'm on the defense. I'm going to roll 7 dice. And then I automatically keep 2. So I would just keep 2 dice and I'm going to win. Now.
Yeah, I see. I see what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah. So that's how that would work. So let's go back. Rewind. Is there anything you want to do working together? Fortunato is no slouch. Like Francis, this has got to be one of the top, if not the most powerful regulator you've ever encountered.
What would one more person helping out do mechanically?
So, let's say you get 3 people all together. So you have to have 3 minimum to do an all-for-one check. You add all your dice together, right? So let's say at...
So everybody rolls 4d6.
So at minimum, you tell me what you're doing, and you can all do different things, right, to try and maximize. Like, you totally do, like, an Ocean's 11 sort of thing, okay? You roll all the dice... You all automatically get to keep 2. So that's... You're keeping 6 dice automatically against me, who is only rolling 7 dice.
Okay.
Now, if you want to keep more dice, instead of spending saga points, you give me tension points.
I'm happy to have Molly help out with this and get us the 0-for-1.
Could I ask something?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a metagame question here. Because, So my character being the troubadour, I'm very good at empathy. What I'm seeing is I can sort of identify people's weaknesses. I can sort of, you know, scope them out quite well. Could I potentially scope out this is Theodore, his weaknesses before we...
Theodore maybe, Fortunato.
That's the one, Fortunato. Could I maybe scope out his weaknesses before we maybe think about going for him first? Because I can identify
people getting his name wrong.
That's it. Well, then I'm going to get a massive crit then.
All right. So between your empathy, my bacterial communication, and Francis's prescience, we should be able to try and successfully misinform this Fortunato or Fortunato in order to pass freely, or
basically
in order to even confuse him or make him accuse other people of wrongdoing.
No, just because he can roll 7 dice, and technically that would still be 6, can Molly jump in on this too to make us able to roll 8?
Yes, no. All this being said, though...
He only still has to keep 2.
You can keep more than 2 if you give tension points, right? So...
Yeah, but we don't want to make you able to focus on...
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, the odds of me getting stuff are really good to have the tension table pop here, but... I also, the other solution, another idea too, is to work through more of the adventure before you do this. Because right now, you don't have his attention, and you're not quite sure where you need to go to. But if you want to go ahead and do it right now, you certainly can. It's up to you.
We're only just setting up, so I'll tell you what we'll do. At this point, I will suggest that is an option to the gang, to the team. That this is an option if we do find ourselves in the unfortunate gaze of the great and wise Fortunato, that I will attempt to discombobulate his bacterial communication.
Miso loved the metagame.
Yeah.
Well, can I throw out one thing about Kellex, who's not exactly been involved in this discussion here, but I'm thinking that there's probably a reason for it, that when we kind of hit this sort of field or sensation from Fortunato kind of suppressing everything, like all the effectively this is all like essence suppression, right, Jared?
Yep.
So I'm thinking, you know, being very kind of mysticism focused, and the experimentation that I've done on myself in the past, that like I can feel that when I walk in that field, and I start getting real twitchy, and Calyx is like smoothing down his suit and all, and like very preoccupied and not particularly helpful with this. Does that seem reasonable to grab an SP?
It's a great start to. It has to be okay. So if you want to trigger your twitchiness, please do. And then you're gonna have to run into a complication.
I kinda was hoping this would wind up causing
It's going to.
I can help you smooth your suit out.
Hi, anything?
Okay,
you know, I think I know that guy up there.
Calyx.
I think we went to a wine sampling party together or something.
Calyx starts to try and smooth down, and like his head's kind of shaking. The security guard that is on the kitty corner of the restaurant on the exhibit hall side, because he has just walked through like into this area, starts coming over towards Calyx and just like waves him over to stop him, going like, you, come here. The other three of you other four of you notice, like, oh, what's going on? Calyx is having one of his spells again. Are you saying anything in particular, Calyx?
I wasn't really thinking saying anything,
yeah,
but just
fine.
Like, obviously kind of jumpy and like not comfortable and like trying to kind of calm himself down, and it's just not working.
The security guard comes over, and each one of them they're the only people that you can see that are openly armed. Okay. They come over. Easy there, buddy. Easy there. Does anyone want to intercede?
Yes, I do. As I see my friend in his having one of his episodes, I must feel like I must intervene and step in and be like, "Ah, yes, my Mr. Security Guard, my friend here, he has this terrible condition. He just needs to sit down for a second, and he'll be just right as rain. I tell you that now."
Okay, he is the guard. Since he's going to do, he's on the offense. He's going to try and discern exactly what's going on here. Okay. Now, being a security guard in this particular casino, I'm going to do that roll. I got a 5. So you are trying to smooth him over to get him out of the area, right? So I'd like a charm, I think, would be probably pretty good for this.
Charm.
Or taunt.
Okay, so I got... I could do taunt. Taunt would be good.
Okay.
Not so bad. But they're both 0 for me for the 1 or the E column.
For the 1. Oh, okay.
Can I attempt to assist this with my composure?
I'm going to say Calyx, no, you cannot.
Okay.
Can I push Guago out the way and just do it myself? Because I've got a 3
in. No, because I've got 3. I've actually got 3 into when I was looking at the explore page. I think silly.
Hey, you know, Guago, because you stepped forward, I'm going to have you do the roll. So I'm going to, just go ahead and roll it. Just do your panache then, right?
Well, panache and taunt.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be 7 dice.
Oh, I thought you were saying you had 0.
Yeah.
Wait, how is it 7?
Because 4 plus 3. And yeah, I did think I had 0, but I was looking at the wrong tab, and I figured that out very quickly.
Okay.
We good? Can I roll?
Oh yeah, you're the troubadour. Yeah, you're 7 dice. Okay. Right, now.
5 and 6.
Okay, you get 2 saga points. You have an 11 just by keeping the 2 dice. You step forward, and what do you say to the security guard again?
I'm basically just talking him down, saying, "Oh no, my friend's just having an episode. He's going to be just fine, right as rain. Let me, you know, just help, just take him away and help him. Oh, he'll be fine."
Oh, just keep on top of him, okay? He gets something in his ear, and he kind of turns, moves away back to his post to kind of look at something else as he, Calyx, he managed to get.
Yeah. Smiling ways.
Guargo, do you remember that we agreed that I would deal with the guards?
No, I remember it was a joint effort. Aren't we all a team? Aren't we, you know, lobster metal?
Lobster metal.
Gwaggo, that was the weakest taunt I have ever heard in my life. Keelix, are you feeling better now? Or do you need a cigarette?
I don't actually have a mouth to smoke those, but yeah, I think I'm getting used to it now. So, yeah, I think I'm okay.
Wait, if you do not have a mouth, how are you talking?
You can't just ask.
If you don't have a mouth, I kiss you.
It's impolite.
His whole crystal body vibrates to produce sound. Yeah, that's it. Very useful for a band. He just hates actually like being on stage, which is why he runs the merch table.
For that matter, Frank, ain't you made of rock? Who the fuck are you talking about?
I choose not to question it. Will, you do get a saga point now.
Divine right.